Thank you this morning for the opportunity of meeting together to worship Jesus Christ and to learn your word. We just pray that it might be profitable to each of us today as we look into the word of God and see what spiritual gifts are all about and how to use them in our life for production for Jesus Christ. Bless this time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Several weeks ago, we put this little transparency on the screen, and we said that Christians differ as far as the old sin nature in weaknesses and strengths. They differ in their spiritual gifts, the ones that God gives us. Each person does have a spiritual gift, but they're different. We differ as far as our amount of spirituality, the time we spend in fellowship with God, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is a spiritual Christian. We also differ as far as growth is concerned. We have some babes, we have some mature people, and people in between those two extremes, the babe or those who have just been saved or have not grown, and those mature people are those who have studied the Word of God and have grown up. Every Christian does have the Holy Spirit inside, and here's a number of verses of Scripture that explain that. You might want to jot some of these down. In fact, the back of your bulletin is blank, so you can put some of these things down if you'd like to remember these things. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and here are a number of verses of Scripture that explain that. But no Christian has all the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 through 21 tells us that. Also 29 and 30 tells us that. And this last little statement is the one that we want you to get. Your gift is essential. Our church cannot function without your gift and without you exercising your gift properly. We cannot function properly without it. Now, if you're not exercising your spiritual gift, then our church is hurting. If I do not exercise my gift, our church will be hurting. And if you do not exercise yours, our church will be hurting just as badly. Mine is no more important than yours. Yours is no more important than mine. Every gift is important, and every person needs to be functioning and exercising their gift. Now, if you didn't get all that down, we don't have time to leave it up there much longer. You can look at this after the service this morning. All right. There are two principles in the Christian life. When Satan controls our life or Satan influences our old sin nature, then there is sin unto death. But if the Holy Spirit controls our life through the Word of God, then our human spirit is obedient unto righteousness. The Holy Spirit, the control of the Holy Spirit leads to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which leads to the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what we're talking about, the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. As you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit directs you in your life. Now, we saw in the other transparency that every Christian has the Holy Spirit inside. We all have Him inside of us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And as He leads and guides us in our life, then we produce His fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That will lead also to the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as you are producing and you are walking in the Spirit and producing for Him, then you are going to be happy as a Christian. If you're unhappy now, the problem is right here. If you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven and you know that you're going to heaven and you are not happy, there's not inner joy and inner happiness and inner peace, then this is your trouble right here. Any time in your life when you find that you're unhappy, inside, now I'm not talking about on the outside, I'm talking about an inner peace and an inner happiness and an inner joy, it's because you have gotten out from under the control of the Holy Spirit and you're under control of your old sin nature and you're producing sin unto death. There will always be unhappiness there and you are not being fulfilled. You know, a lot of people today are always talking about, oh, I want to be fulfilled. I want to have a purpose in my life. I don't want to just sit around and twiddle my thumbs. Well, I don't care what you're doing. You can be making $1 million a year and still be unfulfilled. Or you can be making nothing and be fulfilled. If you're controlled by God the Holy Spirit. That's the whole key right there. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. We saw this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. The Lord Jesus Christ assigns the place of the ministry. Now, there's a difference between your gift and a ministry. Now, a lot of people think that a ministry is a gift. For instance, some people say, well, the Lord's, my gift is young people's work. Or my gift is a tape ministry. No. That's not your gift. That is a ministry. You know, it's strange that God never calls anybody into old people's work. It's always young people's work. No. God gives us a spiritual gift, and we want to look at these spiritual gifts. And then, as you have that gift, the Lord Jesus Christ will put you into a place of ministry. There is a place of ministry. Now, we have two other handouts, or three handouts this morning that you got. And if you'll turn to the one and open your bulletin there, there's one that is written on both sides of the page. Now, these are places of ministry. These are places of ministry that are available or that are open in our church right now. These are the vacancies. Now, I don't know how many it is. I didn't have time to count them all, but I can see probably over 100 here at least. Now, I don't know how many of you here this morning do not have a ministry. But if you are associated with our church and our fellowship here, the reason why we have all these is because you are not, some of you are not functioning. Now, some of you have several ministries. Some of you are worked to death. And some of us are sitting around twiddling our thumbs. Now, if we're babes in Christ, I can understand that. If you have not grown up, I can understand you not having a ministry because a child cannot minister. A child cannot produce. But if you have been saved over a year or so, then there is some kind of ministry that you can do. In fact, if you're saved, there is something on here. There are things on here that you can do without even being a mature person. Not even being an adolescent. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. A babe in Christ can do some of these things. And the thing we need to do is to start somewhere. Start somewhere. Now, I don't want you to take all your time looking at this because you can take this home today. And I want you to take this piece of paper home. And I want you to look at it. I want you to study it. And if you do not have a ministry, I want you to pray over it. And I want you to find out where the Lord Jesus Christ or what place He is going to assign you as far as a ministry is concerned. Because He does have one. And I want to guarantee you, you are not going to be happy until you get in that place and you start ministering. But as soon as you get to the place that the Lord Jesus Christ has, and I'm not talking about the place Nap Rock has for you. Now, if I put you in there, you might be even more miserable than you are now. And that's the reason why I don't assign anything to anybody. That's the reason why no deacon comes up to you and assigns you a place of ministry. Now, we have enough trouble finding out where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And our deacons have the same problem. Now, if God cannot lead you, the only reason He can is because you're out of fellowship. You're not under control of the Holy Spirit. He can lead me when I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. And He can lead you when you're under control of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Father gives the energy. God the Holy Spirit gives the gift. God the Son gives the place. And God the Father gives us the energy or the power to operate. So you see, you're not left powerless. You're not left as an offering on the world and say, well, now I've got to get out of here, and boy, I've got to get with the program, and I've got to do it. No, God gives you the power. Now, these are the spiritual gifts. And I want you to turn with me first to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter, chapter 4. Actually, the gifts are divided into three different areas. The first area, or one area, is the sign gifts. And we're not going to talk about the sign gifts at all today. We will not have time. They are the sign gifts. Then there are the speaking gifts, those gifts that have to do with speaking the Word of God. And this is what Peter is talking about. In fact, Peter just covers two kinds of gifts. He doesn't even mention the sign gifts at all whatsoever. He talks about the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. There are two kinds, speaking and serving. Now, just because you don't have a natural ability to speak does not mean that you do not have a gift, one of the speaking gifts. In fact, When I was in the third grade, my teacher told my mother, said, your son is going to have to learn how to make a living with his hands because he'll not be able to speak. He'll not be able to be a lawyer. He'll not be able to be anybody who has to get up and make a presentation. He just can't do that kind of thing. When I got into high school, what she said was correct. When I had an oral recitation to give in English or any other thing, I always took a big goose egg. I took a zero. I just couldn't get up. I just could not talk. I was the president of my freshman class. And at the end of the year, they required the presidents of all the class to get up and make a little speech. Well, I talked a friend of mine into giving the speech for me that year. Well, my sophomore year, they wanted to run me for president again. I said, ain't no way, fella. I thought about that speech at the end of the year. I wasn't about to get up before all those people and make a little speech of any kind, even if it was just to give my name. I'd rather die than do that. Well, God, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He gave me the gift of pastor teacher. Well, to make a long story short, I'm up here today. My knees are shaking. They shake every time I get up. I get that feeling down in my stomach. In fact, I just about break and run for the back door every time I come out here. But God can give you the power to do whatever He wants to do. There's the speaking gifts and there's the serving gifts. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. By the way, a spiritual gift is the capacity to develop your gift or your ministry. And it has to be developed. It's not necessarily easy to prepare yourself either for a ministry. I have 4 years of New Testament Greek, and there wasn't anything easy about that at all whatsoever. With sweat, blood, and tears studying that stuff. Hebrew history gave me fits. I climbed the wall many nights trying to figure out all that stuff and get it all into place. All the education that I've had has not any of it been easy. And you know, today in Christian service, you know, we just about have to have the Tom Sawyer approach to it. If you don't have the Tom Sawyer approach to it, you can forget it. Because everybody wants something you've got to fool them and make them think it's fun, or you don't get it done. There are times when you have to roll up your sleeves and go to work. When I graduated from high school, I said, I jumped up and down, I shouted, I screamed, I'm through with my education, I'll never have to go through the doors of a school again in my life. That was in June. September, I was at Colorado State University. I got saved in the interim. I got through with college, and I said, well, I'm through. I won't have to go anymore. I've taken Greek, and I've taken all the Bible. Man, I've got 40-something hours in Bible, and I won't have to go to seminary. I'm through. Well, about 3-4 years later, I was going through the doors of the seminary. So I decided that it's not whatever God wants to do with me is fine. I didn't say any of that was easy. But God said do it. And so what do we do? If you want to have inner joy and inner happiness and inner peace, you do it. Now look at verse 10. And every man hath received a gift, not the gift, but a gift. And every man, talking about Christians now, hath received a gift. Even so, minister the same one to another of the same kind as good stewards of the manifold or the variegated or the many-sided or the many-colored grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, what is the oracles of God? That's just the Word of God. If you're going to speak, if you have a speaking gift, then you speak the Word of God. Now, how are you going to speak the Word of God? You can't unless you know it. It's impossible to speak the Word of God without knowing the Word of God. And so if you have a speaking gift, you're going to have to do a lot of studying of the Word of God. You're going to have to know this book. You cannot speak the oracles of God without knowing them. And so if any man, and there are those who can speak or who have speaking gifts, let them speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, if any man has a serving gift, let him do it as the ability of God, as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. If you've got a serving gift, then let him serve. That as God gives the ability or the strength. Now, the reason why we have serving gifts, these are the backbone of the church. Now, you know, we don't like this word service today anymore. We don't like the word duty anymore today. Why? We want to go on our feelings. We are a feeling-oriented people. If I feel like doing it, I do it. I don't know how many students I've heard tell me, I don't feel like studying tonight, I'm going to the movie. I want you to know, if I studied in school when I felt like it, I wouldn't have gotten past the first 9 weeks. They would have flunked me out and sent me home for sure if I'd have studied when I felt like it. Because I had never felt like studying history. I've never felt like studying English. In fact, the only thing I've ever felt like studying is the Word of God. Now, you're talking about studying. I only flunked one course in school. That was state and local government out in Colorado. The teacher didn't show up half the time. I didn't show up the other half. Every time I showed up, he didn't. Every time he showed up, I didn't. I made 9 on the midterm exam. The curve... Don't feel too bad. The curve brought it up to 69. That ought to tell you something. I don't know what I made on the final. We only had 2 tests, midterm and the final. But I flunked out. I must have made 4 or 5 or something. I don't know. But I didn't feel like studying. I did it anyway. You see? Well, if we have gifts, and we do, and these are the 2 kinds that we're interested in particularly today, is the speaking gifts and the ministry gifts, or the serving gifts. Now, if you'll turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The passage that we read this morning. He lists them. And by the way, if you're trying to copy all these this list down, this gives the 4 different places where gifts, spiritual gifts are spoken about. And all I've done is I've just gone through those passages and I've copied them down. So you don't have to get writer's cramp copying this down. You can just turn to these passages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and it gives you the 4 gifts that are mentioned there. Then you can turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, and you can get the 7 gifts that are mentioned there. And then a little bit more difficult would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because there are several lists. There are 3 different lists there, and I've just gone through and I've listed them in order that they appear in the context. And most of these are duplications of these, or they are signed gifts. So we're not interested or concerned with signed gifts this morning. We're talking about speaking and serving gifts. And so here he talks about the gift of apostleship, and we're going to skip that one right now for the moment for reasons that we'll see later on. We want to talk about the gift of prophet, the gift of evangelist, and the gift of pastor teacher. Now, the gift of prophecy. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor. And the word there should be pastor hyphen teacher. It's one gift. It's not 2 gifts. It's the gift of pastor teacher. Notice, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. The reason why God gave these 4 gifts was for the purpose of perfecting the saints. Perfecting means to building up, to make them mature, so that they may do the work of the ministry. Now, who ought to do the work of the ministry? Saints. Saved. Does that include me? Am I saved? Sure. Does that include you? Are you saved? Yeah. Several years ago, I was in Georgia holding a revival meeting. And while I was there preaching in the revival meeting, a pulpit committee came over. And they listened to me, and they liked the way I talked, apparently, so they wanted to have a conference with me in view of going to their church, and they were without a preacher. And so I sat down and I began to talk to them. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to hire them a preacher. So he could come there and he could go and knock on all the doors, and so he could win people to Christ, so that he could marry the living and bury the dead, and so he could do all the work of the ministry. They wanted somebody to come there and to preach to them on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then him do all the work through the week. I began to question them and find out this is what they were looking for. And I began to tell them, I said, now, wait just a minute. I do the preaching, and I do personal work. I do visitation. I witness. And I do all these things, but I want you to know that the Bible says that every person is to do these things too. And if you want me to come there and do all the work of the church and not have any help from any of y'all, I said, now, you've got enough thought coming, and you better be hunting for somebody else, because that's not what the Word of God says. They closed up their little briefcase, and they went out the door. They wanted somebody to do all the work. But the Word of God says that the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor teacher is to perfect the saints so they can do the work of the ministry to the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all can come to a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we won't be as children, tossed to and fro, and carried around by every wind of doctrine, all these false doctrines that come along, and the sleight and cunningness, craftiness, sleight of men, where they want to take you and lead you astray, and crafty cunningness, where they want cunning craftiness, where they can come and do all kind of things to your mind and get you all confused and all upset and all disturbed, whereby they lay in wait to the sea. But the pastor teacher and the evangelist, the prophet, can speak the truth in love and may grow up in him all the things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. We are just all put in our own little place, our own little niche, wherever we need. And we are compacted. We are bound together by that which every joint supplies. Every joint is important. Every joint supplies the need. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, may increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body may be edified and may be loving together and working together. Now, the gift of prophecy. All right, in the Old Testament, the word meant to mouth. He was a mouthpiece. He had the capacity to receive and to speak the truth. There were two kinds of truth. He could tell the future. Foretelling what's going to happen in the future. Now, he had to be 100% accurate. Because if he wasn't 100% accurate, he only got one chance at being wrong one time. There are a lot of people today call themselves prophets. I believe Jean Dixon is 70% correct. That means she's 30% wrong. Well, all she has to be is 1% wrong, or wrong one time, and if she's a real prophet of God, then in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, she's supposed to be stoned. Any prophet who misses in one thing, just one thing, doesn't have to be 1,000 off or just way off, just one little thing off, and he says, I am speaking from God, then he's supposed to be taken out and stoned. So you only get one chance to be wrong. So if you're going to tell the future, you better be sure you know what you're talking about, or we can take you out and stone you. Now, a prophet warned, he exhorted, he instructed, he judged. He was not to originate information, but he was to communicate information. Now that's a prophet. One who communicates the Word of God. One who gives out the Word of God. One who teaches the truth and preaches the truth. One who will warn people about problems that are coming in their life, about things that are happening. One who can exhort someone. Exhortation means you build somebody up and you get them fired up about doing what they know that to do, the truth, as they have been taught the truth, as they have been instructed in the Word of God. They were one who would judge. Then, there's the gift of evangelism. Evangelism is that presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we have down here, he's the obstetrician, or however you say it. He is to preach the gospel clearly, forcefully, and with a burden. You know, he introduces to salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul tells Timothy to do what? Do the work of an evangelist. Now, Timothy had the gift of pastor teaching. But Paul told Timothy, Timothy, don't sit at home. Don't sit behind your desk all the time and just study and teach the Word of God. You need to get out and you need to evangelize some too. And pastor teachers ought to evangelize. We never have a service here. Never have a service here that I do not present the gospel. That I do not tell people how to get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. And if you'll trust him to have died in your place, if you'll believe that he did that for you personally, you won't go to hell, but you'll have everlasting life. You can be saved in your seat right where you're sitting right now. Salvation is a free gift. You don't work for it, earn it, or deserve it in any way. It was purchased and paid for in total by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. There's nothing man has to do of himself to be saved. Salvation is all of God. It is nothing of man. Nothing whatsoever can you do to be saved. If you try to do something to be saved, you spoil the whole thing. Because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If I try to work to get to heaven, then I can brag about what I've done. I can boast. But I can't, because Jesus paid it all. All to him all sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I used to think that the gift of evangelism was what Billy Graham had, what D.L. Moody had, what George Whitefield and some of these other great evangelists, that Billy Sunday and these men like this, I thought that was the gift of evangelism. And at one time I thought, well, Lord, if I just had the gift of evangelism, I could stand up and preach over all those thousands of people, it'd be great. But in studying the Word of God, we find out that it's a little bit different from that. I want you to look at verse 5 of Acts chapter 6. And here we have a little problem among the church, and there was a little griping and complaining because some things were being neglected. And so God says, I want you to pick out among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may be appointed over this business of taking care of some of the administrative work. And verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Stephen and Philip. Now, I want you to turn with me to chapter 8. And look at verse 26. And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all the treasure, came to Jerusalem to worship, and while returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and understood. And to make a long story short, Philip gave him the gospel. Now, Philip had been in a revival meeting. Philip had been preaching and lots of people were trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior. Why? Philip had the gift of an evangelist. Philip was what? He was a deacon. And yet he had the gift of evangelism. You don't have to be a Billy Graham to have the gift of evangelism. If you have a burden for lost people, if you'd rather witness for Jesus Christ than eat when you're hungry and sleep when you're sleepy, if you have a burden, when you see people, you're trying to figure out some kind of way to witness to them, you possibly have the gift of evangelism. My cousin down in Louisville, who's dead, gone to be with the Lord. Now, I believe that man had the gift of evangelism. He was a tire recapper. He had a tire recapping business. He sold tires. But everybody that came into his place of business, he figured out some kind of way to witness to them. And he literally led hundreds of people to Christ before he died. He could not read or write. He had to memorize not only the scripture, but where it was found. And he had it marked, all his little Bible marked all different kind of ways. And people thought he could read. But he couldn't read. He tried to learn how, but he was just too old. He went to school 3 days in his life, and he decided to give it up as a bad cause in first grade. That's his testimony. That's what he told me. Every time I'd come around, he'd have questions to ask me, and I would show him in the Bible where the answer was found, and he would mark that thing some kind of way, and he would remember. Why? Because he was interested in people coming to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I didn't know a man had the gift of evangelism. I had no idea what evangelism was. But I believe that man had it. When I was working down in Mobile, Alabama one time, we had a young lady we were working with. She was a sophomore, junior in high school. You know what that young lady did? Every day at lunch, she would go up to some guy and she'd look at him and say, "I sure would like to talk to you at lunch today." She was beautiful. She was beautiful. And he said, "I'll be glad to. Where you want me to meet you?" She'd tell him. Be out there on the tree somewhere alone. She'd get out her New Testament. She'd witness that thought. She literally led hundreds of people to the Lord. I've seen her get out on her knees and mess up a mascara, a makeup, just tears streaming down her face, praying for lost people in her school. I had another little girl that was a junior, 8, 9, 10, I forgot not exactly how old she was. Every day when she got home from school, she went around to somebody's house in her town and stayed around there all afternoon until she got an opportunity to witness to them. These were older people too. Some of them, one was a grandmother, one was a daddy, friends. And she had witnessed to them. As soon as she led them to Christ, then she'd pick out another house. And she'd go there and start witnessing to them and praying. I believe that girl had the gift of evangelism. Philip was a deacon. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an ordained minister. Just a deacon. You know, if we had about 10 people in our church with a gift of evangelism, we wouldn't worry about our bus ministry. Why, we'd have so many out there working in the bus ministry that we wouldn't have to worry about it. We had people with a gift of evangelism, and maybe you have it, I don't know. Or maybe you've never just really stopped and asked God, "God, what do you want me to do? God, break my heart." Now, we should all evangelize. Every Christian has the responsibility to evangelize. Every Christian doesn't have the gift. I could give you many other people who I think have the gift. No doubt about Billy Graham having the gift. No doubt in my mind at all whatsoever about my Uncle Andrew having the gift. I believe these two young ladies had the gift. They didn't. They sure did exercise it. They sure did a lot of witnessing for Jesus Christ. Now, everybody should witness, but everybody doesn't have the gift. If you've got a burden for lost people, it's a good possibility that that's the gift that you have. When you see people, you wonder, are they saved? What can I do to give a good testimony to them? You'll knock yourself out. You may not ever preach to over one person at a time. Philip left and went down and led the Ethiopian eunuch to know Christ as his Savior. Do you know what that man did? that one man went back home to Ethiopia. And for years and years and years and years and years, they had revival in Ethiopia as a result of this unit. I'm talking about for hundreds of years. There have been more revival meetings breaking out where hundreds of people trust in Christ in Ethiopia than any other country in the world. Church history will bring this out. In that one country than any other single country in the world as a result of this unit going back home. And one deacon left a revival meeting and went down there in the desert to witness to one person. Now that's the gift of evangelism. Then there's the gift of pastor-teacher. The word pastor means to shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? They take care of his sheep. I heard one preacher one time say the only thing he knew to do with dead sheep was skin them. Well, I don't think that's exactly the idea. Now, there are times when sheep need to be skinned. I understand that. But if they are dead all the time, and that's all that you have is dead sheep, and we may have some sheep that are so far out of fellowship they think they're dead, and maybe they need to be shaken up a little bit. But that's not the general idea. A pastor, teacher, is to feed, to nourish, and protect. As the obstetrician is an evangelist, he is the pediatrician. He's to take the babies and to teach them and train them and nurture them in the admonition and the love of the Lord. That's what we try to do here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We try to give you. And Wednesday night, we try to feed you the Word of God. We try to show you what the good Word of God says and what it means. We're here in this town to help you in any way that we possibly can. My phone's never off the hook. You can call me if you need me. I'll be glad to help you. Every Sunday morning and Sunday night, after every service, I say if there's any way I can help you, I'll be glad to take the time now to help you personally. I'm not going to come into your life. And I'm not going to tell you now you're sheep and you're dead and you ought to be doing so and so. No, but I'm here to help you in any way I can. And my wife will vouch for this. I don't mind helping anybody anytime in any circumstance. It's not a bother to me to help people. Why? I haven't always been that way. God gave me a gift. And with that gift, he gave me a love for people. He gave me a concern to teach people the Word of God. Now, we're to pastor and we're to teach. Now, not every teacher is a pastor, as we're going to see next Sunday or Sunday week. But every pastor should be a teacher. Now, some pastors are evangelists. That's all they do is evangelize. If they're an evangelist, then they ought to be an evangelist. If all they ever do is give out the Word of God and they're an obstetrician, then all they're trying to do is get people saved. And a church service is not the main place to get people saved. How many of you here this morning are lost? Don't raise your hand, please. We wouldn't want to embarrass you in any way in the world. Most of you here are saved. If you died right now, you'd go to heaven and you know it. And that's my main concern. Now, I'm concerned with the unsaved. I want to do the work of evangelists. And if you're here and you're lost, I would count nothing a greater privilege than to explain to you personally how to be saved. And I can do it. I know how to do it. I've spent time, sweat, blood, and tears learning how to do that. And I want to win. I want to show you how you can be saved. But that's not my main concern on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. My main concern is teaching Christians what they need to know about the Word of God so they can do the work of the ministry. And that's what a pastor teacher is. He introduces to the Christian life, just like the evangelist introduces to salvation. Now, we got six more on that page to go, and we've got about four or five more on another page. We're going to have to take this up. I'd hope to get further this morning. But our time's run out. In fact, we've run over 2 minutes, and I apologize. There's a lot more to come. We just began to fight. Now, we also gave you a second sheet. It's a double sheet. And we'd like for you, if you are interested in our church, and you don't have to be a member, we want everybody to fill out one of these who is interested in being a part of our fellowship here, whether you're a member or not. You don't have to fill it out this morning. If you want, if you're interested in becoming a part of our fellowship here and working here, we'd like for you to fill out one of these. We certainly want all of our members to fill out one, because when you became a member, you said you were interested in it. And I want every member of our church to fill one of these out. Now, maybe you don't understand all this yet, and you don't have to fill it out today. But I want you to fill it out and either put it in the collection plate. No, put them in the collection plate. Put them either up here on my desk or on my office desk. Either place. But I'd like for every Christian, like I say, who's interested in the ministry here, to fill one of these out. And when you fill out one of these and you say that I'm interested in this particular part, then we'll, as soon as we have an opening or as soon as we can get around to you, we'll put you to work. Now, if you aren't interested in anything, don't check anything. If you don't know what your gift is or where you're supposed to do or serve, then wait. Wait till we get through the whole list. If you already know, you fill these out, we'll appreciate it. We'd like to get them back as quickly as we can. Because we want to quit dragging our feet. We want to get the work done that God has for us here. I want you to be happy. I want you to have purpose in your life. God does. And I know you can't, as long as you're sitting there twiddling thumbs. As long as you're doing the do-nothing game. Know what that is. It's a little block. It's got a little thing. You turn it round and round and it just goes in and out, doesn't do a thing. And that's about what most Christians do. They plan to do nothing again. They come in the back door, they sit down on a pew, they warm it up, they walk out, they cool off. The pew, that is. But on a Sunday, go to meeting clothes, they come to church, they go home, they hang them up. As soon as they take off the Sunday, go to meeting clothes, another ball game. That's not the way it should be. We're all down on the playing field together. We're all working together. This is not my church. I have never told anybody this is my church. This is our church. It belongs to you just as much as it does to me. It's just as vital to you. And you're just as responsible as I am. Now, maybe I haven't conveyed that across to you. Maybe I have never gotten across to you. That's my fault. But so help me. That's what I want to do. This is ours. This is our opportunity to serve Jesus Christ, to glorify Him. And we are to all do it together.